What is going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by NumberFire. That's right here on NumberFire.com. And of course, the NumberFire Podcast Network, as we are taking a look ahead to the Houston Open for some PGA DFS, breaking down the final event before the Masters next week. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a writer for NumberFire.com, joined here as always by Brandon Gandula. He is a writer and editor for NumberFire. Brandon, final little tune-up here for the Masters. Got a decent field heading out to the Houston Open. So how you doing?
Decent. That's a nice way to put it. We got six of the top 20 in the world golf rankings here. We got that Augusta corollary that we'll talk kind of a lot about, and this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it should be. And we got Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, Jordan Spieth. We got Luke List, Tony Finau.
You could have stopped at Ricky, and it would have been.
Yeah,
I know it's a good field.
Yeah, love Ricky. So happy that he's here because I need a better feel on him for next week. So I can hopefully use this as kind of a gauge for that. Speaking of next week, we will have a Masters preview podcast going up on Friday. Usually these go up on Tuesday, but because the Masters is the Masters, we'll record on Friday instead. If you want Masters hashtag content right now, though, we did record a Masters first look podcast looking at the pricing, looking at odds, guys who have done well at Augusta in the past. That is in the NumberFire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. Make sure you go find that there if you want to get a head start on your Masters prep. But the full podcast will be up on Friday right here in this same feed. Also want to mention there that we do still have our iTunes contest going down where you can win NumberFire Premium for an entire year. If you want to get in on that sweet deal, make sure you go to iTunes, search for the NumberFire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed, leave a comment, and rate the podcast. Then you will get yourself entered to win. We will draw again next week for the next winner of NumberFire Premium for an entire year, just in time for the end of NBA season and the beginning of MLB DFS. MLB DFS podcast tomorrow, also along with our NBA podcast, our solo shot podcast for opening day is tomorrow. Again, like I said, we got the Masters coming up Friday. So Brandon, we're a little busy the next couple of days.
I got tired just hearing you cover all the stuff that we're going to do.
I forgot. We actually have a betting preview for the Final Four, too. That's later today in the same feed. So, you know, we get if you like high-volume podcasts, hello, friend.
And high quality, too.
You can think that. That's fine. I'll let you think that. I'm not going to correct you.
You're gonna need some tea.
I've got my giant water bottle here and my hot coffee, which I'm sure is just great for my voice. I'm sure is ideal.
Just reminds me of the Rich Eisen.
Give him some tea. Yes, 100%.
Those are such good commercials.
They were amazing. My favorite one was there was a devil in an elevator, and they asked, "Are you going up?" And he just shook his head, and it went down, and it was amazing. That one was really good. I was a fan of that. But with that said, let's dive into the Houston Open. They're at the Golf Club of Houston, which is 7,441 yards, and it is a par 72. It's similar to Augusta, so there are going to be, I guess, it can be used kind of as a tune-up. I know I've read in the past that Phil Mickelson likes to use this place as a way to just prepare for next week, which is why he tends to be here quite often. That's something to keep in mind. There is a cut after two rounds. The top 70-plus ties will make it through. So, pretty important tournament here because we do have good golfers, and they are getting prepped for the Masters. I believe there are 16 guys currently locked into the Masters field. If someone wins, they could join them as well. So, Brandon, what stats are you focusing on here at the Golf Club of Houston?
Yeah, so with Augusta and Golf Club of Houston, they're both par 72s. Houston's actually listed as just 6 yards longer than Augusta. Both have bent grass greens. It's actually overseeded here with POA. That gets a little bit outside my comprehension, but both have greens that are like a 12 plus on the stimp meter. So you can definitely find that Augusta corollary if you're looking for it here. But this course isn't nearly as tough as Augusta. If we look relative to par, it's ranked 24th, 23rd, 41st, 23rd, 25th on tour over the past 5 years out of roughly 50, courses per year. It was also named Redstone prior to 2014, if you're digging way back in your research. But as for the stats that matter here, I'm looking at strokes gained off the tee. This is a course where you can launch it, but strokes gained off the tee has played a bigger role in success here than on other courses on tour, according to datagolf.ca. Greens are actually easy to hit here, but since 2006, golfers finishing top 25 have hit 74% of greens in regulation compared to 65% for those missing the cut, according to Fantasy Golf Metrics. So I'm looking at greens in regulation, even though statistically they're kind of easy to hit. And tying into that, I'm waiting scrambling as well. And with scores around par, with this course grading out kind of average, I'm going to look for birdie makers. So I'm looking at birdie or better rate this week pretty heavily. And a little weight as well to strokes gained putting on bent grass, because these greens are fast, they are tough. So to recap my list this week, strokes gained off the tee, greens in regulation, scrambling, strokes gained putting on bent grass, and birdie or better rate.
Yeah, and I think we're pretty much on the same page here. I am looking at distance just because, as you mentioned, it is a longer course, and I am weighing in distance at Augusta as well. So, you know, might as well toss it in here. And because Tony Finau and Luke Lister in the field, I gotta go with the distance. But I do have scrambling on my list too, because I saw similar things in my research. And then strokes gained approach is the third stat, but probably the always the most important one, at least for me. With that said, let's take a look at past history here, Brandon. As we mentioned before, Phil Mickelson tends to use this place as kind of a tune-up for the Masters. So let's take a look at Phil here, who not only has a long course history here, but is also golfing just a lot better in general right now.
Yeah, so speaking of that Augusta corollary, we have Phil here. He's played well at Houston in his career. He's also won the Masters three times, so you know that adds up there. Since 2008, Mickelson has a top 25 here at Houston in 7 of 10 tries, including a win in 2011. His past five finishes, so even if we exclude the win and a fourth the next year, his past five are 16th, 12th, 17th, 13th, and 55th last year. Via that datagolf.com.ca, I'm going to do that every time I try to play. Mickelson's third in this field in adjusted strokes gained per round at this course, which really stands out to me. And given that current form that he's got, I think he's going to be a popular player this week for good reason, even in a stacked field. So definitely put Phil on your short list.
One thing I remember we talked about last year with this course, and Phil was in different form then, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but what we talked about was that he is more concerned with ramping up for the Masters and necessarily winning here. Does that weigh on your mind at all, or is his current form good enough where you think he could win, even if he is just kind of strictly preparing for next week?
Yeah, that is a concern. Mm-hmm. I think it mattered a little more whenever he couldn't win and he was trying not to win, but he just won, so maybe that changes things. But, I mean, you can definitely make the case for Phil, but I don't think he's really in my top. He's not in my top two among the high-priced guys.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I can only play so many of these golfers at the top, and he's at least fourth, if not lower, on my list.
I would say the same. As far as my top guys, I think that we're in the same boat where we kind of want to get two of those studs in if we can, and I don't think he'll make that cut for me. So probably no Phil this week, but I'm not opposed to him next week. It's more so I have a concern about him, so that's kind of pushing me down for that reason. Let's talk about Russell Henley, because he's kind of a good test in whether you value current form or course history more. He's not exactly killing it right now, but he has just destroyed everything here in the past. He's been here five total times at Houston. Each of the past four, he has finished in the top seven. That includes three straight top fives. He hasn't been at par or higher in any of the rounds. So he's just been below par for 12 consecutive at least rounds here in Houston. He got the win here last year. He finished 20 under there. Brandon, I think this is going to drive up ownership on Henley. He's 10-2 this week. Are you riding with him here, or are you avoiding because of the current form?
I like him, but I think I'll be underweight just because I do think that he'll be popular in this mm-hmm. mid-range. He's not the only golfer around 10,000 who I like, so that definitely comes into play, but he is eighth in the field in birdie or better rate over the past 50 rounds, according to Fantasy Golf Metrics. He's also sixth in greens and regulation, 16th in career strokes gained putting on bent grass. So checks a lot of boxes if we're looking at him from a scoring angle. And I mean, we know that the course form is just stellar.
Yeah. The thing is, Henley in a vacuum is a good play. If we're not considering ownership, if we're just looking at his price, he's a good play. But I think he's an imperfect play because of the current form. And when he is an imperfect play that I expect to be popular, I have no problem pivoting. So that's why I'll probably avoid Henley. Like, if we get a read from Fanshare Sports that Henley is not going to be super popular, then I will change my tune pretty quickly because I think he is worthy of that ownership. But I know golf is a high variance sport. If he's going to be chalky and I don't view him as being some locked in stud, then I'm fine avoiding. That's kind of where I'm at with Henley. So I think I agree with you where I'll probably wind up being underweight unless I get a read before Thursday that he's not going to be as popular as I initially expected. Yeah, let's move on. Go ahead. Yeah.
He's up there on Fanshare already as of Tuesday morning.
It's hard to read Tuesday morning in general just because there's still a lot of time before things are really cracking, but that does matter. And I think that people talk about course form, so yeah. I would bet he winds up being in the top five.
There's another name that's near the top that's not going to make you too happy.
Is it Luke List?
Yeah.
I was hoping that Henley would draw away from List.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, well. We had a good run, Luke.
It's early.
Just stop talking about Luke List, everyone. Stop it. I beg you. Do this for me. Let's talk about another guy, Brandon, who I tend to gravitate towards for better or for worse. That's Keegan Bradley. Keegan is a highly volatile golfer. He's 9,600 this week. He's kind of just beneath that Luke List, Russell Henley range. Kind of dig him. So let's talk through Keegan's course form here.
Yeah, 9,600. And well, I think I'm with you. I think I'm going to need to spend down on four golfers so I can cram in two of the really expensive options this week. So 9,600 is an interesting price. That leads me to look at Keegan Bradley. You know, he's generally considered a really volatile option, but he has made 8 of the past 9 cuts. The finishes haven't really been very strong other than a 5th at the Farmers. He had a 2nd at the CIMB as well, but Keegan has had upside at this particular course. His 7 finishes include 4 top 10s with a 5th cut and 15th over the past 3 seasons. He's also 7th in this particular field in strokes gained off the tee over the past 50 rounds. So, you know, maybe he can make good on the upside at just 9,600. And if I'm not mistaken, his odds have moved. Yeah, he was 66 and now he's not 55. So that's promising.
That scares me though, because high ownership Keegan Bradley is death. Just straight death. I would not assume he winds up being popular because Luke List and Russell Henley are both just a tiny bit more expensive. So I think that the way that I tend to handle Keegan is awesome at low ownership. He is awful at high ownership. So I kind of have to read him based on that. I think for this week, as long as he is not quote-unquote popular, what I deem to be popular, I'm in. Because he's 9,600. His approach game has been awesome this entire season. I think that he can do well at this course, as you said, with the upside. So I'm leaning towards going Keegan right now based on my read. Is that where you're at too?
Yeah, I mean, he's on my list for sure. But there are like 3 other golfers, 95 to 99, who I would consider. So I'm not necessarily trying to jam in too much Keegan Bradley if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's him and Byung-Hun Ahn are the two ones who really stick out to me in that specific tier as being interesting. Maybe Chez. I don't know. Chez is 94.
He's had some positive line movement as well, but you're overlooking Sharma. You're overlooking Stricker. You know, Stricker's my boy. Sharma is everyone's boy in DFS, at least PGA.
Current form doesn't get much better than that.
I don't know. I think that's a loaded range. So if Keegan and List are just like super chalky, I'll consider just a full fade maybe.
I think the good thing is that not everyone from this range can be chalky. My initial read is it depends on if you include Henley in that range. I think that Henley will take away some ownership from this department. That's probably why I'm more okay with Keegan and Byung-Hun Ahn, because I think that they will be just kind of like normal. I don't think they'll be super popular. And I think if that's the case, I'm totally cool with them.
I love Ben Ahn this week.
Because he's good.
Yeah.
He's good at golf, man. That's all that matters. Let's talk about Daniel Berger, because he is 11,000 this week. Puts him pretty much with that top tier of the studs. And that would make me nervous at first glance. But he has done really well here the past few years. His first trip to Houston was in 2015. He finished 25th that round. That was despite finishing with a 72 on Sunday. Shot a 74 the next year in one of his rounds, but he still managed to finish fifth, which is pretty impressive. He shot a 66, which will certainly help in that department. Then he followed it up by finishing fifth again last year. So back-to-back top fives for Berger. Current form, it's not terrible, but not great. But the problem for me, Brandon, is I can't really put a lot of faith in that course history when he's in a tier with a lot of really good golfers. So what's your read on Berger?
It's going to come down to lineup construction. Mm-hmm. I like Berger. He's actually second in the field in adjusted strokes gained per round, according to Data Golf. But at 11,000, even with the positive, he opened at 28. He's now 25. It just seems like a lot of the golfers who made my initial cut have had like positive line movement, which is both promising but also concerning, because
correct,
I play DFS, so that just means higher ownership, so that's concerning. But given the price, I don't think will be popular.
Yes,
so that's like it's really going to come down to lineup construction, and I don't think that too many lineups are going to be just one stud and then one golfer around 11,000.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my thing, is I'm not going to be doing that overly often. And when I do so, it'll be Tony Finau pretty much every time. His course history here isn't great, but like, I just like Tony Finau a lot. And he's been pretty solid ever since the start of the new season. So I think that's my thing with Berger. If I go down here, I will probably go Finau and go with the current form over the course history. Go with the guy who can launch it and who I objectively just like. So I think that's my big hang-up with Berger. If I don't go with two of the top five guys, I'm probably going to drop down to Finau instead of Berger. Finau's 11,300. Berger's 11,000. Do you have Berger above Finau?
I do, yes. Okay. But you also have Kuchar there at 11,200 and Cabrera-Bello at 11,500. I would be fine with all four of those golfers this week.
See, so, I put Finau and Berger in their own tier above those other two.
Nah, I'll sell you on RCB.
Okay, well, let's do that. In 1 second, Brandon, we will get to that. But first, got to let you know that buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy. That is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. And best of all, Heat Check listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code HEATCHECK today. That's promo code HEATCHECK for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Promo code again, HEATCHECK, one word, within the SeatGeek app to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Let's take a look at Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Brandon. He is 11,500. He is in that group of studs. Talk me into him right now.
Third at the WGC Mexico. Then 29th, 26th, 26th, 6th, 40th, 2nd against some pretty tough fields. You know, you're looking for a little more than the fringe top 25s at 11.5K on FanDuel, but Cabrera-Bello is 9th in the field in strokes gained tee to green over the past 50 rounds. He's 12th in par 4 scoring, 2nd on par 5s, 16th in birdie or better rate, 15th in greens and regulation. That means he can score fantasy points, and as much as we want, you know, those wins and the positional bonuses, making birdies is very vital for your FanDuel lineups. And he's also 5th in career strokes gained putting on bent grass. I like that combination. He also finished 4th here in 2016, missed the cut in 2017, but I would not be surprised if he finishes top five with a lot of birdies at 11-5 and most likely low ownership given his price relative to all these other guys.
So let's say you do decide to go with a stud plus one in the 11,000 range. And we'll exclude Henrik Stenson from that because I think he kind of counts as a stud for this week. Are you going towards Berger, Finau, Cabrera Bayo, or Kuchar first? Which one sticks out most to you?
Honestly, probably Berger because he's cheaper and I like a lot of what he does. But if I have the money, Cabrera Bayo. I guess this is one of those instances where I can say in a vacuum.
Sure. Yes. Thank you. I like it.
Then Cabrera Bayo. Okay. I think he's priced where he is for a reason.
So I'm
pretty high on him this week.
I think that my hangup is that I'm probably not going to have that roster construction super often. Like I'm going to have two of the super high priced guys, the 12,000 ish guys, and then fill it out from there most of the time. And if I decide to go with the one super high priced guy and then one in the 11,000, I want to get exposure to Finau. And I think that's my only opportunity to do so. So I'm probably just going to go with Finau and go with a full fade on the rest. So I don't think I'll have any Cabrera Bayo this week, but I think I'm going to have a decent amount of Finau.
So if you start with Justin Rose at 12-6 and even spending down on Ricky at 12, you have 88.50 for your other four golfers. I don't know.
I think that's doable personally.
Really?
Yeah. There are some guys in the low 8,000s who I do not dislike. Our boy Sang-Soo Han is 77 too. He's back.
Yeah. My boy Brandon Harkins is 83.
Yeah. Kelly Kraft is 82 too. I don't mind him.
But you're really, if you do go that two stud route, like you're going to have to roster guys who are below 8,500.
I'm comfortable with that this week. Usually I'm not super comfortable, but I am cool with that this week.
Yeah. It's a very tough field though.
Yeah. That's true. So do you think you're going to have more lineups with two high priced studs or one and then one in the second tier?
You know, I wanted to load up on two studs, but I feel like I'm going to be forced into playing a lot of Sung-Soo Han, who, by the way, hat game, disappointing.
We got the report. Not good.
Yeah.
Not great, like Bob.
Like an off the rack bad hat. Which,
but the golf game was good.
Yeah, very, very, very good. And Brandon Harkins. So I feel like I would have two studs plus those two, and then I'm going to have a lot of similar lineups, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that because there are three or four-ish guys in that range I'm pretty okay with, that's going to allow me to do it more often. So I think I'm leaning towards like a 70-30 split in going two studs and then the 30 being 1-1. That's where I'm at right now. It could change, but I think that's where I'm at initially at least.
Well, in our head-to-head, our weekly head-to-head, we should have different lineups, which not really the case last week.
Was it like a 3v3?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one.
Jim did.
I left 700 on the table for you, and you still. Come on, man. Come on. I think it was 700. It might have been 500. I don't know. I left something out there because my boy Sang-Soo was making lineups to Gucci last week. Let's talk about Jordan Spieth here because we're generally talking guys with great current form. Spieth did not have that, but he is still the top-ranked golfer in this field based on the World Golf Rankings. So I want to chat through him at least. He went down early in the WGC match play last week. He kind of continued a long run of mediocrity. He has missed cuts. Or two missed cuts in his past six events, and he hasn't finished outside the top 20 when he has made the cut, but he also hasn't been higher than ninth since the new year. So mediocrity a bit different for Jordan Spieth than most people, but he's awesome. He's 12-1. Are you willing to overlook the current form for Spieth and plug him in?
I'm willing, but I'm going to turn the tables on you, and I want you to rank the top five for me.
Okay. Let's go.
Rose, Mickelson, Spieth, Fowler, Stenson.
Rose, one. I'm going to go Spieth, two, actually.
Wow.
And Fowler, 3. Let's go Henrik Stenson, 4, Phil, 5. Does that sound realistic, or are you super way off from that?
No, I think like you can rank these guys pretty much any way you want, but I would go Rose, Ricky, probably Phil, then Stenson, then
Spieth. See, Spieth last.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. What's the reasoning for you? Just the way he's golfing right now?
I think you put it, I forget who, oh, Phil, you said there was a concern about him for you, and that was mm-hmm. enough.
Sure. Okay, sure.
I feel like that's the same thing with me.
And that makes sense. I think that's a pretty reasonable reason to go away from Spieth. I think that the reason that I do like him is people are so soured on him right now that I think he'll be under-owned.
That's very possible.
If that doesn't happen, though, it really does lower the appeal. But I think I really do have Justin Rose kind of top of the list. Did you say him first, too?
Yeah, he's my favorite golfer of the week.
He's not my favorite, but like he's my favorite in that range, at least. Luke List is always the favorite, Brandon.
Well, there's no Xander this week. So.
Yeah, so sorry about that. But I think I have Rose, Spieth, Fowler. I could flip-flop Fowler and Spieth, though, but Fowler's current form concerns too, honestly. So
yeah.
Nobody's perfect, Brandon. Except for Phil, apparently.
Except Phil can't Xander. Lose.
Except Xander. Rest in peace. We'll see him again very soon. We'll talk more about this top tier in the Vegas odds section is coming up in just a second. But first, let's talk about a couple of guys below 10,000. Starting off with Chris Kirk, Brandon. He did catch my eye initially as being a guy who I thought was pretty interesting. He's 9,000 and could be a potential source of some salary savings.
Yeah, so Kirk, just 9,000 on FanDuel. Of late, he's finished 13th at the Arnold Palmer, 49th, 33rd, cut 11th at the Waste Management, 35th, cut 10th at the Sony, 4th at the RSM. So kind of up and down, but there is some upside in there. He's also finished 2nd at Houston in 2011. He was 22nd in 2013. Hasn't played this course in 3 years, but the 32-year-old, you know, he's golfing well enough. He's shown upside at this course in the past, and he makes things work. He really helps out this week when you're building lineups. Mm-hmm. Decent win odds too at 75-1.
Yeah, he's 22nd on the tour in strokes gained approach for this year. He's 41st in scrambling. Not the longest guy off the tee, that is for sure, but I think overall there's a good amount to like about Chris Kirk, but I think this is another kind of loaded tier because you've got Kirk, Emiliano Grillo, James Hahn is right there. I like Hahn quite a bit this week. Is Kirk the top guy of those three for you?
I mean, J.B. Holmes has had some success here. Mm-hmm. Just hate his putter a lot. But now I'd probably put Hahn first.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to go to Grillo because I feel like people might gravitate toward him again.
I was hoping he burned them.
He was 64% owned on FanDuel last week.
Disgusting.
Nobody else was above like 28%.
That's disgusting. And he's 9,000 this week. Okay. So just kind of going with the familiar name, basically.
I would think it's possible.
Okay. Well, if that happens, then I would sour on him very quickly. Because right now I like him because he seems like a really good cash game play because the floor tends to be super high with him due to the made cuts. And I don't feel the same way from a floor perspective necessarily about Hahn or Kirk. But I think for tournaments, especially if Grillo is going to carry some ownership again, like I would go to Hahn in a heartbeat.
This is just a week where like the top five are all pretty much in play for me. Mm-hmm. At 11,000 range, all those guys are in play. Right around 10,000, there are five or six golfers. Right around 9,000, there are at least four that I would consider. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be like it's going to be hard to narrow down a core.
To me, what happens then is ownership plays a lot bigger role because there's less opportunity cost for avoiding a guy who will be chalky because there are other replacements who are in that same tier. So when I get a read like that, I'm not quite as enthused with everyone as it sounds like you are. I think I have a smaller list right now, Maybe I'm just being picky. Probably the case. But because my core is smaller, I don't have to put as much of an emphasis on ownership. There will be certain plays. Like, I want to emphasize it where you were talking about, like, Luke List before and Russell Henley. Like, I want to emphasize it there. But overall, I think I can kind of just go with my guys. Whereas with you, it sounds like you may need to go just really heavy on ownership and try to avoid guys who are going to be chalky.
Yeah, that would be pretty much how I differentiate or narrow down my list. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of – I can just make the case for a lot of different golfers this week, mm-hmm. and they're all at similar ranges. So it's a really tough one to narrow down this week.
Do you know who it's super easy to build a case for?
Yeah, and everyone's building a case for him.
Shush. Luke List, he's a man. Brandon, stop your nonsense. Avoid the negativity. So we talked plenty about Luke List recently, but it's for good reason, because he's just scorching hot right now.
Even when he's not in the field, we're talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the flow chart. Is Luke List in the field? Yes, then he is on my rosters. Is he not in the field? Then he's probably still going to be on my rosters, even if it's like a weird, like, Microsoft MS Paint type thing. I will find a way to get Luke List in there because I need to. Just it's a must. Didn't make it out of the first round of the WGC match play, but faced some tough competition. I know he had Justin Thomas in there, but before that, he was 7th at the Arnold Palmer, 16th at the Valspar, 2nd at the Honda Classic, and he has been 26th or better in each of his past 6 regular events, so excluding the WGC match play. List is up to 9,900, which is more expensive than we're used to seeing him, but his odds are also insanely short at 30-1. So, Brandon, you sticking with List?
List is actually now 28.
Oh, dang. He moved?
Yes.
Something else moved, too. I'm excited about this. This is great. So, what are your thoughts on List?
I mean, we know he can take advantage of with his distance this week. He's 2nd in this field in strokes gained tee to green over the past 50 rounds, 5th off the tee, 15th in par fours, 4th on par fives, 10th in birdie rate, 25th in scrambling. He checks all the boxes other than putting, which is always the concern with Luke List.
Yeah, and I think the other concern is ownership, because the putting is bad. If he's at high ownership, that could derail your lineups. So I think Luke List will be in my cash game lineups. I will be underweight in tournaments, I think, if he winds up being popular, which it sounds like it's going to happen. So Luke List, a lock in cash for me, underweight in tournaments. Is that your same read too?
I don't know if I'd lock him in cash, but
you'll be against him, the bobblehead. I can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I know that. It doesn't matter what the course is.
It's assumed, yeah.
It could be 18 par threes. Right.
Dude, that's 18 chances for an ace, man.
It'd be mini golf.
I would not do that. You talked me out of him there.
Yeah, I mean, he's close to a lock in cash given the price, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to say for sure he's a lock.
That's fair. I will. I'll say he's a lock for cash. But I think underweight in tournaments, same for you there?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, cool. That's fine. I think this is kind of a week where we need to accept that the golf is a high-variance sport. He is a high-variance golfer at times, so if he'll be popular, I'm sorry, my boy. Back on you next week. Let's talk about the odds here at this tournament. We got Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler entering as the favorites. They are 10-1 according to Bet365. Then Jordan Spieth is right behind. He is 11-1. Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson are also in that top tier at 12-1. Those are the big five we've been referring to a couple of times here. Then it's a pretty big dip down to Daniel Berger at 25-1 now. Luke List, as Brandon mentioned, is down to 28-1, same odds as Russell Henley, the defending champ. Rafa Cabrera-Bello and Tony Finau both check in at 30-1 to round out that top grouping. So, Brandon, when you see that top group, what stands out to you among those guys?
Just loaded.
Yeah.
Just loaded. I think it's a pick your stud kind of week, like, or two if that's the route you're going. But, you know, especially if you're just building a few lineups, you probably just want to roster the same studs in each lineup and maybe differentiate there, because you're not going to be able to have the combinations of all these guys because there are just so many You could also potentially find, you know, four value plays you like, 4 to 6, maybe build your core there and then just rotate in the studs. That's something that I would consider because I like all the studs. Mm-hmm. I do think that Rose and Fowler have a slight edge for me over the rest at the top. You know, initially I thought the Berger, List, Henley, Cabrera, Bayo, Finau tier might go a little bit under-owned given the guys at the top, but I'm having a really difficult time figuring out how people might build lineups this week.
Yeah, I think based on looking at the odds, I would think they do go 2 studs. Like, that would be my assumption, but I could be wrong. And like you said, it is very cost prohibitive to do so.
Yeah, like, even if you do, you know, Stenson and Fowler, who are the two cheapest, mm-hmm. you have just over 9,000 for your other 4 golfers. And that does mean you're taking, in a field where you have Rose, Spieth, Phil, Stenson, Fowler, all of these guys at the top, you're taking, you know, Bo Hostler, who I do like.
I'm not. Okay, that's fine.
But like Brandon Harkins, just some of these guys down here, it takes a leap of faith. So yeah. Maybe people go a little bit more balanced because they can get like a I don't want to say Thomas Peters, but like, I don't know. It's just really difficult to figure out what people might do.
I think balance is the contrarian way to go, personally.
Well, everyone's going to plug in Luke List. He's yeah. getting so much buzz.
Does that mean that Henley goes under-owned?
No, I feel like people are going to play List and Henley, and then they have 99.75 left for their other 4.
Okay.
If they have one value play they like a Griot, and you're at 10-3.
Mm-hmm. So basically, like, worth thinking they'll be doing more balance than we initially thought. Is that kind of the read that I'm getting here?
It's possible.
Okay.
And then, like, I don't know. What? So you just think people are going to plug in, like, a Rose and Spieth and just mm-hmm. plug in 4 value plays to go along with it?
Yes, I do.
Do like Rose, Spieth. I'm sure this is riveting, but Henley, List. Rose, Spieth, Henley. No, that's, you get 76 left. You can't do that.
Sang-Soo Han, 77, man. What do you mean?
Yeah. Love 5-year golfers and then play Lanto Griffin.
Who?
Danny Lee.
My boy Robert Garrigus, who torched a pretty good lineup last week, is 7,500. He really took a flamethrower to that thing. My goodness. I was impressed.
Like that's exactly the thing, though. Like, you need 6 golfers, right, especially in a field like this. So I just don't know if people are going to plug in, like, just a random guy to make the lineup work.
Yeah. Taylor Gooch, 76. There you go. 26 a couple weeks ago. I don't know. I think they're going to go 2 studs, honestly. I think that's where I am at, which I think will allow Finau and Berger to be not super popular, but we'll see about that. What movement have you seen so far?
Movement, not a ton, but there has been some on some pretty interesting names. Guys who have shortened, so their odds have improved. Daniel Berger was 28-1, according to Bet365. He's now 25-1 as of Tuesday morning. Russell Henley was 35. He's 28. List was 30. He's now 28. Matt Kuchar was 40-1. He's now 33. Keegan Bradley was 66. He is now 55. Chez Reavie was 75. He is now 66. And if we want to include him, Corey Connors was 140, and he's improved to 125. Again, if we want to include that. Guys who have lengthened, there have been 2. One is Phil. He was 11. He's now 12. So, like, that's barely anything to me. And Brant Snedeker was 75. He's now 80.
I'm so happy that List is actually shortened, because I was, like, beyond excited when I saw he was 30-1, and now he's 28. Like, it's great, man. This is awesome. With Berger, moving down to 25 from 28, do you think he'll wind up being the most popular guy in that specific range?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I would have assumed that before, I think.
Okay, interesting. Okay. So that's more incentive to pay up for Finau, man. Talk you into it.
Or Cabrera Bayo.
No, it's all about Tony Finau. Let's talk about the cheaper guys here, because like we said, we do need to have some guys who are a little bit cheaper to help us fit in those two studs if we decide to go that way. So, Brandon, which guys fit that bill as being cheaper guys with good odds?
So there are actually 21 golfers who are 9,500 on FanDuel or cheaper with odds to win at least 100-1. So
that's awesome.
I'm gonna bump down the cutoff to 9,000 this week, and that still leaves us with Emiliano Grillo. I actually hear a lot of people say his name Grillo, and I don't know if that's
like, he's from Argentina, isn't he?
Yeah. So I can't assume that's right, but I might have to look in. I'll make a note and try to look into that one. But he's 6'1".
I will fire myself if that's actually how he pronounces it. I'm not going to do that, but I would. I would consider it.
I've just heard it so often that I realize that I never, like, I'm with you. I assume it's Grillo.
I've watched a lot of baseball, so I've heard a lot of bad pronunciations of, like, Spanish names. So I can't be too shocked, but, you know.
Yeah. We also have Chris Kirk, who's 75-1. Patrick Rogers, Ian Poulter, Bud Cauley, Harris English, Kelly Kraft are all 80-1. Johnny Vegas and Paul Dunn are 90-1. Sean O'Hare and Bryce Garnett, 100-1. And our boy Sungsoo Han is 110.
His PGA Tour profile says Grillo with an emphasis on the low. So he must have an accent on the O. But I always thought it was yo as opposed to low.
Grillo?
Yeah.
Grillo.
All right, well, we were both wrong. But it wasn't Grillo, so I feel better about that at least. Is there anyone in that range who has a good odds who really stands out to you as being, hey, you know, this is a guy I can depend upon as a cheaper option?
Not really.
Yeah.
I guess Grillo.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Sungsoo Han out of necessity this week.
Yes. He will be, like, I'm thinking probably, like, I can accept putting him in 40% of lineups, but I don't want to go higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, I do like Brandon Harkins and Bo Hostler as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I have to go, like, super heavy on Han, but, you know, if I do go with the two studs, it's going to be maybe I can do that. Maybe I can talk myself into just loading up on Harkins and Hostler and Han, the Triple H down there.
Yeah.
In the value range.
Yeah. I think there are enough guys down there, but there's no one who I feel great about. So I'm probably just going to pick my studs, kind of going with the strategy you mentioned before, where I commit to my studs and then diversify a bit in the value plays. That's probably where I'm leaning right now, I think.
Yeah. I frankly don't know. I could see going balanced, loading up on like that 11,000 range.
Yeah.
Because again, I like all those guys. It could be a way to differentiate.
I won't be doing that personally. I just like the other guys too much. And I think there is a decent gap between them in the field.
Oh, there is, but I'm just, you know.
That makes sense. No. I mean, like, the savings do help you elsewhere. So I won't be doing that, but I do see the merits of it. Let's take a look at the weather for this weekend. It actually looks like things will be a bit wet on Thursday morning. There is a 30-ish percent chance of rain until around 8 a.m. Then it goes down from there. So things could be a bit slow for the first group of golfers that day. Winds will be fairly calm throughout Thursday. Friday looks pretty solid, but there will be wind on Saturday afternoon. Winds will get above 10 miles per hour around noon and then go up from there. Can't really plan around that because we don't know the tee times. They'll be punishing the guys who did well on Thursday and Friday, but wind will at least be a factor at some point. Same thing is true for Sunday with the winds picking up throughout the day. So the guys in the final groups could be dealing with some slightly suboptimal conditions. The winds don't look like they'll get above 15 miles per hour, but they will be at least a factor. So between the rain early Thursday, Brandon, and the wind on the weekend, are you altering your approach here at all?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. It could slow down the greens, which could help a guy like Luke List. Mm-hmm. But wind's always a concern at this course. So maybe a little bit more emphasis on course history.
Sure.
Would make sense.
And Luke List did finish third here last year, so that doesn't even help me talk myself out of him either.
They could use a lift clean place as well. That would go a long way. Mm-hmm. You know, I never like trying to guess the weather.
I do in extreme conditions, but this is not an extreme condition for me. So
no, but it is windy. Mm-hmm. Pretty much always here. So again, a little bit more emphasis on course history could pay off.
All right, let's dive into our player picks for this week, starting off with the studs. Brandon, who are you targeting among that group of five?
I'm going to go Ricky at 12,000. He's 10-1 to win, according to Bet365, so tied with Justin Rose for the best win odds. He's 600 cheaper than Rose. He's fourth in salary behind Rose, Phil, who's 12-4, Spieth, who's 12-1. And Ricky's fifth tee to green over the past 50 rounds. He's 12th in putting on bent grass in his career. The other stats aren't necessarily there of late, but he has finished 6th, 71st, 10th, and 3rd at Houston over the past 4 years. So I like that. I think he's figuring things out again. And I just like him regardless. And with so many of these big names, I think ownership's less of a concern on Ricky than it generally is.
Do you think he will be like a bit underowned because of Rose and Phil and all these guys? Like, do you see anyone in this range being chalky? I don't personally.
Not chalky. I think they'll all just cannibalize each other's ownership. But yeah. I don't think any of the five will be like 10% owned.
Right.
I think they'll all be healthily owned.
Yep, I'd agree with that too. So let's talk about Justin Rose here. I haven't been on the train super often recently, but he does have that blend of current form, stats, and course history that I think is pretty hard to ignore and does make me like him a lot this week. The course history aspect is definitely the weakest, but he does at least know the place. He was 15th here last year, 14th in 2010, and he has made the cut the other two times he has been here in the past decade. So, you know, he's at least making the cut. He's been here a decent amount. And Rose has been in the top 10 for 13 of his past 15 events. He hasn't missed the cut since the PGA Championship last year. He is expensive at 12.6, but it seems like he's worth it. I kind of think Rose will be my top stud from an ownership perspective. I think he could be an 80%er. And then I think I'll try to work my way down from there. Do you view him and Fowler as being in the same tier, Brandon? Or do you think that Rose is... I think I have him in a different tier. What about you?
Well, like I said, Rose is my favorite golfer of the week. Mm-hmm. So Fowler would be second, at least among the studs. In a vacuum, I wouldn't say Ricky is. Sure.
I like how you're just embracing it.
But yeah, I mean, Rose is my favorite golfer. That much I can say. I definitely would have recommended him if you hadn't gotten to the sheet before I did. He's fourth in this field, strokes gained tee to green, 10th in par fours, 3rd in birdie or better rate over the past 50 rounds. He didn't play the match play last week because he wanted to focus on the Masters.
Yeah.
This plays right into that. And I like him so much that I'm going to force him in even at 12.6.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat too. So he'll probably be my highest owned stud. Still sorting out number two. I think it'll be either Fowler or Spieth. I'm actually going to talk about Spieth in the player picks instead of Tony Finau. We'll audible that later on. But first, Brandon, let's talk about Hank Stenson. We haven't really discussed him yet. Probably the one stud we've talked about least. So what do you see with him?
Yeah, I'm also going to make an audible, not from Stenson, but I like this. On-air, live audibles.
Yeah, no planning. We're just going... We're just dangling here. Daredevil dangling. Let's go.
So Stenson's 11-9. on FanDuel. He's the fifth most expensive golfer, so he's right in that bottom edge of the top tier. And then there's a drop down to Cabrera Bayo at 11-5. Stenson, though, is 12-1 to win. He's played Houston six times since 2009. Three of those finishes were top threes. Those came in 2009, 2013, and 2016. He did miss the cut a year ago after losing nearly two strokes putting per round, which was actually like, it was one of the 10 worst putting outings in the field last year. So that's something that I'm more willing to overlook. Plus Stenson was, he's had a stretch where he was not quite himself. And he enters 12th tee to green, 10th off the tee over the past 50 rounds on tour, three top eight finishes in his past five events as well. I can make the case for Stenson pretty much as well as anyone this week. So if I think he's going to go under owned, I'll plug him in and be overweight on him in tournaments.
So you're kind of judging him based on the read you get from an ownership perspective?
Yeah, I mean, if he's popular because he's like the cheapest stud and people want to pay up, but just go with Stenson because he's cheapest. I mean, he's not a huge discount from
right.
Heath or Fowler, but if he's going to be popular for whatever reason, I'm fine. Because again, I'll play Rose, I'll play Mickelson, I'll play Spieth, and I'll definitely play Fowler and Stenson. So
yeah,
I'm just going to try to play it by ear with the ownership sure. and try to get a read that way.
I think the way you're handling Stenson is the same way I'm handling Spieth. So let's talk about him here. We know that the current form for Spieth is not necessarily ideal. He's got a couple of missed cuts here recently. Again, two missed cuts in his past six events, but his stats really aren't that bad. He's not a great guy off the tee, but he's 81st in distance, which is, I think, better than usual. He's 25th in the tour in strokes gained approach. He is second in scrambling. And those are my big three stats for this week. He is still respectable across the board. And he has shown at this course in the past that he can do well. He was second back in 2015. We know what he can do at Augusta, which is a similar course too. The match play didn't really do much to alleviate my concerns around Spieth last week. But I think in a situation where we know how dominant he can be when he's on, I want to buy in case that happens. So I think I'm going to go Spieth here and kind of see if we get on the high end of that variance, see if he can get his things together. I'm going to go Spieth. Hopefully that putter corrects itself. I do think I have him below Fowler, though. I think I'm pretty set in Rose, Fowler, Spieth for right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the case for Spieth. I mean, he's Jordan Spieth. You can make the case yeah. for him pretty much any week you want. I think he makes sense. He's got the hometown narrative as well. Mm-hmm. That's your kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
I think. But I feel like I'm going to be less exposed to Spieth than any of the other five top okay. placed guys.
Again, I think that's fair. Like I think your thought process there is the same thought process I'm using with Phil. So I understand it completely, and I can't blame you at all. Let's dive into the mid-priced range here. We've talked a little bit about it, but let's get a little bit more discussion about this mid-priced range. Guys we like there, who stands out to you most, Brandon, here?
So I'm going to audible
okay.
from Luke List because I think we've covered him plenty.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk about Steve Stricker first.
Okay.
He's 9,600, 40-1 to win. Stricker he's been scrambling well. He's first in the field over the past 50 rounds. He can putt well. He's ninth in the field in career strokes gained putting on bent grass. I think he can contend even if he doesn't necessarily like push for a win. It doesn't really matter at 9,600. He's played Houston nine times since 2006. Five of those were top 25s. Just one of those, he has just one missed cut, rather, over the past 3 years. So the form isn't exactly recent at this particular course, but the recent form is definitely there for him. He's finished 31st, 26th, and 12th in his past three events on the PGA Tour and in three events on the Champions Tour this season. He's got two wins in a second. So Stricker is just a phenomenal golfer. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be consistent in this range. And if I'm looking at, you know, like a cashier lineup and I'm looking at Stricker at 96 or Keegan Bradley at 96, they're pretty easy one for me.
Did you use Keegan Bradley and cash in the same sentence? Even if it was excluding him from that discussion?
Yeah, Keegan Bradley is a good way to lose cash.
Yes. Or win it. Yes. He is he's a volatile little pup. Do you put Stricker above Ben On?
No.
No? Okay. We'll talk about Ben On in a little bit. I would agree. I'd rather have Byung-Hun On. And I think they both could go a little bit over or under him because of the presence of Luke List and Russell Henley. Another guy who could go overlooked as a result of those two is Charles Howell III. And I don't view him as being the most exciting guy by any means, but he does bring a lot of what you want. He's 10-3. He enters this event ranked 24th in the tour in approach, which is 12th among guys in the field. He's also 52nd in distance and 57th in scrambling, which is not bad. He's used that to make the cut in 7 of his past 8 events since the new year. He was 6th at the Farmers Insurance, 14th at the Arnold Palmer. He did advance pretty deep in the WGC match play. He has been 5th, 7th, and 39th the last 3 years here, respectively. So I think that Howell may be my favorite guy for tournaments in that low 10,000, high 9,000 range. Any interest in Charles Howell III for you, Brandon?
I do have interest, but the problem is he hasn't, you know, he's not really profiling as a birdie maker. He's 111th in the field in birdie or better rate over the past 50 rounds. I like what else he does, but if I'm looking for tournament plays, they got to have both low ownership and birdie upside. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Howell makes the cut, but he does make the cut for more of a cashier sort of format. But then
I'm not going to be there from a roster construction perspective in cash. I know that.
Yeah, but then, you know, you're going to play Howell at 10-3 rather than Henley at 10-2 or List at 9.9.
Yeah, exactly. So that makes sense. That argument makes sense. I sometimes don't put enough value in birdie or better rates. Maybe I should do more of that considering the scoring. But
yeah, I mean, it always comes down to like the other stats and who's going to finish top 10, top 25. But mm-hmm. You can have like a top 25 and outscore someone who's 15th.
Yeah.
If you're making birdies.
For sure. Yep. And Howell may not do that. So I think that argument makes sense. We'll see though. I think that he's interesting to me. Let's keep going with his mid price range, Brandon. You mentioned Steve Stricker before. So who else are you targeting here?
Well, it was going to be Luke List, but again, I think we've covered him plenty. Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to differentiate a bit, there's Sharma at 95. I like him. You know, Keegan's there at 96, but I'll talk about Chez, and this because he's moved up with his odds to 66 from 75.
I like Chez.
He's 35th in the field, strokes gained tee to green over the past 50 rounds, but 18th off the tee, like that. Second in par 4 scoring, second in birdie or better rate, 30th in scrambling. Not a great putter on bent grass, and his form at Houston's pretty bad. Missed cut in 2017, 7th in 2016, 37th, 31st, 3 straight missed cuts from 2009 to 2011, and a 34th. That's not really been, I mean, the odds are improving, but the course history is not there. And in the recent history, at 29th at the match play, but I'm not really going
right.
to factor that in. Cut at the Valspar, 52nd at the WGC Mexico, 73rd at the Genesis. So mm-hmm. not good form, not good course form. So why is he moving up? But it's really those stats.
Yeah.
I think he's a good fit for the course based on what he's doing lately. And again, second and birdie or better rate over the past 50 rounds, even with those weak finishes. So
yeah.
He's not, I know this is our loves, but
yeah, he's a guy on your list who we haven't talked about basically.
Yeah. I feel like we've covered Luke List plenty.
Yep.
And with you taking Ben On,
sorry.
No, it's like, I just feel like we could differentiate a bit.
Yeah.
Also, right. Probably play some Sharma if I have enough
room. Yeah. I don't mind Chez. I think the problem for me is I like On more in cash and Keegan more in tournaments. So we haven't talked really about Ben On outside of the fact that we both like him, but Byung-Hun On shown quite a bit of upside recently, which is awesome for his price, which is 9,500, which is 100 less than Keegan, 100 more than Chez. If we're looking since January 1st, On has been to 6 events, Did miss a cut once, but he has four top 25s, a fifth and a sixth place finish. That sixth was in Dubai. Pretty good field there. The fifth was at the Honda Classic. On his 15th in distance and 17th in approach on the tour. So I love him in this middle range. I'll probably go in there in both cash games and in tournaments. I think he fits for both. Not sure if he'll fit my build in cash because I do want to go Luke List there. But Brandon, are you going on pretty much across the board?
Yeah, I mean, over the past 50 rounds, he's first strokes gained off the tee, third tee to green. The problem with On is the putting. He's 131st in 35 bent grass events in his career. That's a bit of a concern, but pretty much everything else is in line. 27th in scrambling, 33rd in birdie better rate. The price is just very cheap. The win odds are good. He's just going to be one of those guys I try to plug in quite a lot of lineups.
And I will be in the same boat. Let's move into the lower priced range here. Talk about a guy we both like, Brandon and James Hahn. What drew you towards him?
Hasn't fared too well at this course in his career. 56th, 36th, cut 49th in his four tries, but he's 13th in strokes gained tee to green over the past 50 rounds, 14th in birdie or better rate. I think that could just put him in position to make those birdies and score well, even if he's not flirting with the top 25. Again, if I'm looking for like low owned, low priced guys, I want those birdies for the fantasy points.
Yeah, and Hahn's good. I like him a lot. I have to weigh which one I like more between he and Grillo. I think let's talk about Grillo here. He let us down last week, 50th place finish, despite being 8-1, but he's 9,000, so I'm kind of back in here again. Even with that one finish, he has still made 14 consecutive cuts, which is hard to find in this pricing range. He was 6th at the Hero Indian Open, 8th at the Honda Classic, 12th at the Farmers Insurance Open, which have all been since the new year. And Grillo is 41st in approach on the tour. He's solid elsewhere. I'm fine going back here. I think I'd go Hahn in tournaments, Grillo in cash. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, Grillo.
Yeah, it's messing Grillo me up. Totally shook.
15th tee to green over the past 50, pretty much average across the board elsewhere. But you mentioned the safety, and again, that's just hard to find here. For cashier formats, I think Grillo. He's going to be on my list for sure. Yeah. For the cashier formats.
I agree. I think I lean towards Hahn in tournaments. Let's talk about two cheaper guys than this. Talking below 8.5 guys you could maybe target if you are going with the two studs lineup. Who is tops in the list for you, Brandon?
Probably Brandon Harkins. Yeah, boy. 8,300, 125-1. Great first name. Yep. Bent grass history is pretty limited, but he does lead the field in putting on bent grass, so that's promising. It's not like he's been terrible and we're just trying to overlook it. He's also 10th in strokes gained tee to green over the past 50 rounds, 21st off the tee, 18th on par fours. Hasn't played here before, but he fits well statistically, and he's had a string of top 25s not too long ago. So at 8,300, he's going to be on my list.
Yeah, Harkins has the stats that I like. He has the current form that I think is pretty respectable, so he will be on my list too. I need to weigh him relative to Kelly Kraft, because I think that Kraft is very interesting. He is 8,200, another guy who was in Punta Cana last week, but he actually did well there. Took home a third-place finish against a very weak field, so I don't really weigh that, but he was heating up before that too, which is why I think it's interesting. Kraft has now made four consecutive cuts. Doesn't sound super impressive, but one of those was an eighth at the Honda Classic. He was 31st at the Valspar in a pretty tough field. So he's shown some upside here recently. He's just 82, so he will save you quite a bit. And I think I will use him as an outlet when I really need to spend down for those two stud lineups. I have Kraft above Harkins right now. Do you have any thoughts on Kelly Kraft, Brandon?
So I pull my stats from Fantasy Golf Metrics, and I look at the past 50 rounds.
Mm-hmm. He's missed a lot of cuts in the last 50 rounds.
I have him 128th strokes gained tee to green, mm-hmm. 126th off the tee, 126th in birdie or better rate, 107th in scrambling. I mean, his win odds are good, but
yeah,
I don't think I'm going there.
Would you go with Sengsu Han over him too?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would go
Bo Hostler over him as well.
I would not go Bo Hostler. I would go Han, Kraft, Harkins. I don't mean to be blunt. Bo Hostler is 183rd in the tour and approach, and that will never be in my lineups.
Second in greens in regulation, eighth in scrambling over the past 50 rounds, top 25 on par fours and par fives, 35th in birdie or better rate, 13th career strokes gained putting on bent grass. I think we might need to do one of these where we play each other and you use Kelly Kraft and I use Bo Hostler.
I really don't want to do a Kelly Kraft in cash. Well, let's just do we'll see who wins. Like we don't need to do lineups. I don't want to burn a lineup like that, but we'll just see who finishes higher this week. I'll take Kraft. You take Hostler.
I don't want to burn a lineup with one of the guys that
I'm recommending. I mean, he's behind Sengsu Han.
No,
I don't know. I think Kraft is interesting. Let's pick winners, Brandon, before we get out of here. One chalky and one 60-1 or longer.
Oh boy. You know what? I'll go with Cabrera Bello.
Okay. Bello. I think that one actually is Bayo.
Yeah, he's Spanish.
I think the Griot is Grillo.
Grillo is screwing me up.
Yeah. It goes against everything my 15 years. It's an exaggeration of Spanish.
Yeah, well, I took 8 years of Spanish throughout my life, and apparently if you go to Spain, you can be understood by only a certain subset because everyone speaks a different dialect. So
yes.
Great. Tens of thousands of dollars well spent.
Awesome education system, America.
What was the other one? 60 or longer?
60 or longer, yeah.
Oh,
shoot. Keegan moved, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, no. Okay, you pick first. Take your time.
Who was your chalky pick?
I was going to go Spieth for funsies.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I'll go Chez.
Okay, cool.
He's still 66, and I recommended him.
I only had one other guy in mind who I really wanted. That was James Hahn. And if you had picked him, I would have been here for at least another 15 minutes.
There's a coin flip between those two.
Okay, cool. So I'll take Hahn. I would have taken Keegan if he hadn't moved. What an inconsiderate guy to have his odds shortened before our podcast. But Keegan would have been my guy, but I will go with James Hahn. That is all that we have for this Houston Open preview. But like I said, come back on Friday for the Masters preview. We will go through the course history, current form, yada, 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 breaking down the Masters field. All that will be coming up on Friday. Also have, again, our Final Four betting preview coming up later today. We have our NBA and MLB podcast tomorrow. Opening day is on Thursday. Again, that's by subscribing to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and TuneIn. Brandon, people have questions for you on Twitter. Where can they find you there?
I'm at Gdula13, Gdula13.
And I'm at Jim Sonnes, Jim Sonnes. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, Pods as in podcast. We'll be talking to you all again soon with the Masters preview and all the other podcasts coming up here. So make sure you are subscribed. Good luck with your DFS lineups this week, and we'll talk to you again soon. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire.